Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Well, today I have the treat of continuing our series, The Extraordinary Life, and my title for the message is Upgraded. Upgraded, and so I went and I upgraded my dress this week for this message, just as a sermon prop. Actually, this isn't that new of an outfit, but anyway, it hasn't been out in a long time, so here we go. John chapter 5, that's where we'll begin today. John chapter 5, and if you'd like to know, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1 after that, I think. So here we go, John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which was five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Turn to your neighbor and ask them this question. Do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." At once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, the man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who has been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are working. You are the God of all creation, Elohim, from the beginning. In all creation, your spirit has been hovering over the earth. Your eyes are looking throughout the whole earth to see whose hearts are yours. Oh God, let us today be a people your eyes find whose hearts are yours, who want what you want to see more of heaven come to earth, who want to get up off of our mats and walk in all that you've called us to walk in. Jesus, thank you for showing us the way, for you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears and our minds to receive new revelation that will transform our lives. Lord, I'm asking for upgrades. Lord, let us be upgraded today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Kevin did a fantastic job last week as he, yes, come on. as he continued our series in Extraordinary Life and talked about perspective and proper perspective. And so I'm going to kind of continue down that vein a little bit in God wants to upgrade our vision. He wants to upgrade our perspective, what we're seeing. What do we see? It's so important that you see something. Because if you can't see something, it'll be difficult for you to believe it. What are you seeing? Because what you're seeing is what you're believing. The proverb says, as a man seeth, so is he. So your perspective and what you see is really important. And God doesn't want you to see with your natural eyes. He doesn't want you to be blinded to the natural, but he wants you to see deeper into the spirit realm where things are first created. First creation. Everyone here at church is sitting on a chair, but what you're sitting on, what you see, is not the first creation of that chair. For that had many stages to be created to being the very comfortable chair you're sitting on. It began in the imagination. In the imagination, somebody imagined the chair that you're sitting on. And then from that imagination, they began to write blueprints of how that chair would look and how that chair would be built. And then it was built. But the vision is where it first began. And thus, the way you upgrade your life, the way you upgrade yourself, is upgrading your vision. As Christians, if you've been here more than once, you probably will hear this. We don't have sin problems. We don't have a sin problem. In fact, our only problem is a vision problem, is a belief problem, is an identity problem. See, you don't have a debt problem. You don't have a debt problem if you've been born again. For your Father is the God of all creation. He paves heaven's streets with gold. With gold, okay? There's no lack, and if God needs something that he doesn't have, he just creates it. He'll make something out of nothing. He has the ability to do that. So when you understand who you belong to and that you're a joint heir with Christ, you've been seated with him, that changes everything. It changes the perspective of everything. Of everything. Now this crippled man who Jesus encounters at the sheep pools, rather. It's really the sheep pools is where there were pools as they would bring sheep in to be slaughtered. We don't know what festival it was at this time that Jesus was going to, but they have discovered archaeology that these pools existed. And there were two of them. One was to clean the sheep, and the other one was to clean people as they came in to bring in their sacrifice. And there was a covered area, and there was a legend, possibly, or a story that at these waters, these naturally spring-fed pools, that occasionally the waters would stir up. In fact, if you were reading along in your Bible, you may have had verse 4 in your Bible, and the one I read from excluded verse 4. Because the earliest manuscripts don't have verse 4 where it said an angel would come in and stir up the waters. And we see that something happened there. And many believe that maybe it was written in because of legend and history of what had happened there at the pools. That occasionally an angel of the Lord would come and stir the waters. And whoever would get in first would get healed. Now, I don't know if that story is true or not, but this is what this person believed, that if I got in the water, that I could get healed. But he explained why he couldn't get healed. Right? He explained why he couldn't get healed, and then he blamed everybody else. He said, I can't because of this, but then he started blaming other people. Church, when Jesus came to this man and said, do you want to be healed? He so forgot, because he so embraced his identity from his circumstance. From his crippledness, that's where he got his identity. And thus, when asked, what do you want? He didn't even know what he wanted. All he knew was he had excuses of why he didn't have what he wanted. Church, it's time to get rid of the excuses. I mean, can we just get real? Because we're gonna. Okay? If you want to lose weight, if you want to, you can lose weight. It's called don't eat. You will lose weight. The question is, do you want to? And I think it's an important question you must answer. Do you want to be free today? Do you want to be healed? Do you want it? How badly do you want it? Now, in this case, we don't see that this crippled man's faith healed him. But Jesus just went right past this man's identity to get up and walk. Now you say, well, see, he didn't have any faith. Actually, I would beg to differ. He got up. Jesus didn't say, you're healed, now get up and walk. He said, get up and walk. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. He didn't say you would be healed. We don't know to what extent this man was crippled. We know he had some hindrances because other people could get in the water before him. We don't know to what extent, if he could even get up or if he was brought there. We don't have all those details, but he obeyed. He obeyed the word of God. This is what's important, is that it's the word that brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When Jesus speaks, guess what? It's all the word. He is the word. So every time Jesus opened his mouth, it was the word. This is also why Jesus didn't have to pray in his name like we do, because everything he prayed was in his name. But here's the question for us today: do we pray like Jesus prayed? How did Jesus pray in this situation? Didn't say, Father in heaven, would you heal this man? What did he say? Get up and walk. Get up and walk. Can I challenge us today to pray like Jesus prayed? You know, the disciples did. Acts, the gate beautiful, crippled man, silver and gold we do not have, Peter and John said. Silver and gold we do not have, but get up and walk in Jesus' name. You see that? You see how they prayed? They prayed like Jesus, except Jesus, all he said is, pray in my name. So if you go back through the Gospels and you read the stories of how Jesus prayed and how Jesus prayed for people, maybe if we started praying like Jesus did, we might start seeing what Jesus saw. Yeah, there's an audaciousness, isn't there? To the way Jesus prayed, as if Jesus thought he could just say whatever he wanted and it would happen? I mean, who does he think he is? This is what rubbed the Pharisees so wrong. I mean, it rubbed them so wrong because Jesus knew who he was, and they knew the only one who could pray and live and act like Jesus did was God. Exactly. That's who Jesus is. He's God. And he instructs us to pray like him. Not that we are gods. No, we're servants of the Most High. But if we're going to do the greater things that he's called us to, we better start praying like Jesus prayed, living like Jesus lived, believing like Jesus believed. He believed. Guess what? Church, Jesus believed he was the Father's beloved, whom was well pleased before he began his ministry. There are some incredible nuggets right there for you and I. For you to be able to see what he sees, which is where first creation happens, you need to see and feel and believe that you are his beloved son or daughter. When you get that revelation that you are a beloved son, a beloved daughter, when you get that revelation, you will be upgraded. Come on, follow me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll get back to this story in a minute. But Ephesians chapter 1, the first seven verses, we're going to see seven upgrades of the way we believe and the way we think. We need an upgrade to our perspective. We need an upgrade to our souls. We need an upgrade to our language. See, when you get your perspective upgraded, when you get the things in your soul upgraded, what will follow is you will begin to have how you speak. Your language gets upgraded, the way you talk. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our sins or trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he has lavished upon us with all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which is set forth in Christ as a plan. I can keep going and going, but verse 7 is where I was supposed to stop. But so hard when you just hear of who you are and what you have access to as a son or daughter. It changes everything. Changes everything. The first lens upgrade here in verse 1 of Ephesians is, I am blessed. Say it. I am blessed. No. Say it like you mean it. I am blessed. Which means you should be happy. Blessed people are happy people. Being a Christian and not being happy does not compute. Be happy. Be happy because you are blessed. See, Christianity is not a formula, it's a relationship. He blessed us with a person, Jesus Christ, who allows us to access a new and perfect relationship with God. Listen to Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He wants to upgrade your lens. You're blessed. You're blessed. Now get up off your mat. You're blessed. Stop identifying with your circumstances, your situations, what you don't think you have. You are blessed. You got to believe that. See, a blessed person, if they lose everything, it doesn't matter. Because they know they can get it all back if God wants it to come back. They're blessed. I'm just getting back up. See, Jesus wants us to come to Him regularly to learn what mats we need to get up off of. Like when you got ready today, did you make a decision that because you're blessed, you're coming to church fixing to get more blessed? Are you coming to church because you want something? You go, oh, well, no, that's selfish. No, no, it's not. Not if you want what He wants. It's not selfish. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you know He gave you a new heart with new desires when you were born again? You just have to discover what's all in that new heart. See, there's an operating system that's inside of you now that never needs to be upgraded. The only thing that needs to be upgraded in you and I is our soul. For the processor we have can handle speeds we can't even imagine. We'll never overheat, we'll never run out. In fact, it has an eternal energy source. But this soul of ours needs some upgrading because our soul can't operate at those levels. But He wants us to. He wants us to go to new levels. And in order to go to those new levels, you got to know who you are and what you were created to do and be. So lens number one is I am blessed. Lens upgrade number two is, yep, I have been chosen. Come on, say that with me. I have been chosen. He chose you. He chose me. First round. You believe that? First round picks. Why? How are you a first-round pick? It's not because you're so beautiful and talented. It's because you were chosen in Christ. He's the first-rounder. He's the all-star. This is why you and I are chosen. This is why you and I are first-rounders. First-round picks. Come on, when you realize that, when you realize how valuable you are, you just live differently. When you know all that God has for you to accomplish, you just live differently. You stop wasting your time on sinful things for sure, but even the permissible things to get on to the beneficial things. This is the extraordinary life that he's called us to. But you need some upgrades. You need to get off the mat. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. You got to throw the excuses away. You got to throw the limitations away. The man on the mat. I mean, come on. There was already some compassion, right? But there wasn't about pity. It wasn't about pity. It was compassion. Jesus was he knew he'd been there a long time. And he asked him, do you want to get up? Question is, do you want to get up today? Do you want to rise up? Do you want to be upgraded? Are you okay with whatever mat and whatever area you're laying on? Jesus is coming. Come on, every time we come together corporately, there's a grace of us coming together to encounter Jesus, to be upgraded. I mean, when you walk out today and somebody asks you, what happened today? What happened at church?
I got upgraded.
Come on, yes! When I spent time with Jesus on Monday morning, what did he do? What is he upgrading? See, what's interesting is Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now, here's the thing. Walking by faith doesn't mean your circumstances always change. In fact, I have found there's greater glory given to when I'm carrying the mat of my circumstance. I'm not letting my circumstance keep me grounded, paralyzed, lame. And every excuse is lame. But as we grab hold of that, and we walk by faith, not by sight. Do what he says. Do what the word of God says. Do everything without what? Grumbling and complaining. So, when can we grumble and complain? What can we do with grumbling, complaining, according to Jesus? Nothing. This is the extraordinary life. Want some more upgrades? Some more lens upgrades? Next. I am holy and without blame. What? Yeah, but do you not know what I just did? What you just did does not determine your holiness or your blamelessness. Stand up. Yeah, you got knocked down. You're on the mat. Get back up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. How can we approach God without shame? Because Jesus became our shame. Lens 4 upgrade. I am adopted. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. And the more we see him for who he is, the more we discover who we are. We don't have to wait to that one day when we see him face to face. But the whole upgrading and transformation is about every day getting in the Word and finding out who is he. Because the more you know who he is, the more you'll know who you are. And the more you know who you are, the more you'll live differently. Church, you don't have a sin problem. You only have an identity problem. Lens 5 upgrade. I am accepted. I am accepted. A full, welcoming acceptance. A glad acknowledgement. Open arms. Therefore, he will never reject me. Come on. He will never reject you or me. This is a lens upgrade. Be upgraded. Number 6, I am redeemed. I am redeemed, which means you've been loosened from being in bondage. You're no longer a slave. You are free. You are free to get up and walk. You're free. Say it, I'm free. You've been ransomed. You've been freed. And number 7. The 7th upgrade we find in just these 7 verses in Ephesians chapter 1. I am forgiven. Come on, say it. I am forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Release, no more debt, no more remembrance. Whenever you struggle to forgive somebody else, your struggle is not to forgive them, your struggle is to be forgiven. See, when you strive to go, okay, oh, I'm going to forgive. No. Submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God is what? Believe what he says. You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. When you understand that, when you have the proper upgrade in your lens that you have been forgiven, you can't help but forgive others. So if you're like, I can't forgive them. Well, you have a struggle right now. Your struggle is not forgiving them. Your struggle is you receiving forgiveness for you. You have a wrong perspective about how much you have had to be forgiven of. So these are just a few of the upgrades to the lenses of what we see and how we see things. See, we have to be very careful too that life and the things that life brings do not cause us to change our theology. What is our theology? Our theology is what we believe about God. Do not let life and life circumstance write your theology. Your theology has already been written. It's here in the scriptures. Who God is and the way God works has already been written. And when our life doesn't seem to line up with our expectations, the answer, again, is not to lower our expectations of what the Word says, but to reset them, right? To have an upgrade to our expectations and be open to do whatever He tells us to do according to His Word. I remember a story in the Old Testament. Naaman, he had leprosy, a great man who had leprosy, and he was instructed that if he goes sees Elisha, that he would be healed. And so he had an expectation from the word that if I go to this man, that he would do something great, like maybe put his hand over me and pray, and I'd be healed. So he has this expectation, which wasn't an ungodly expectation and belief. But when he came to him, and the word of the Lord was, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, his expectation was unmet. And he got angry. He got angry and he went away, couldn't believe that the man of God, couldn't believe that God would have him go have to humiliate himself in a dirty Jordan River. But here's the answer to all of this, church. James chapter 4, verse 10. God exalts the humble. Those that humble themselves before God will be exalted, will be lifted up, will be upgraded. And so the servant says to Naaman, hey man, just do what he says and you'll be healed. Church, that's why we're in each other's lives. To just remind one another to just do what God says. Believe what God says. We don't shame one another, guilt one another. When we fall and we land on a mat, and we all fall on mats, and we all are going to discover new mats in the future. There are many more upgrades for our lives that are to come. We don't shame people off their mat. We call them off of them by faith. Josh, that's not who you are. You're not a whiner, complainer. That's not who you are. You're a man of God who believes. I know, I've seen you more than overcome. Right? We call out what's true in one another. We call out what's inside. We call it forth. Naaman goes, humbles himself, washes 7 times. Why 7? Don't lean to your own understanding, church. Why did I have to wait this long? It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. So today, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? And to all those watching online, has he spoken to you of an area of your life that you're lying on a mat? Is there an area that he's calling you up off of? Are you willing to stand up on a word, on his word? And are you ready to walk by faith and not by sight and not be defined by your circumstances, but live above them, seated with him in heavenly places? Because he's calling us up. He wants to upgrade us all and all of our perspectives, all of our vision. You got to see differently. You got to allow him to cause you to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not grow weary. Don't give up. I already know the Holy Spirit has been speaking. You've been connecting. You've been connecting to something in your soul, an area of your life today that you're lying on a mat as a victim. It's so easy. It's so easy to blame others, to come up with excuses. What I'm not saying is that your circumstance will immediately change, but you have a decision. What do you want? What do you want today? Would you bow your heads as we close? Jesus, I believe you have those same words for this crippled man, for us today. You're asking, what do we want? What do we want? Hallelujah. What matters most today is that you hear his voice. And you respond to where he is said to get up. If you know there's at least one area today the Lord has spoken to you, maybe there's several, but you would say, I'm ready to get up. I want to get up. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and everyone watching online, would you be willing humble yourself and lift up your hand and say, yeah, I want to get up. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Church, would you pray this with me as an act of faith of standing up and receiving his grace and his power and his love? Say, Jesus, I stand on your love, on your word, and I repent of my selfishness, my wrong thinking, my wrong actions, my wrong identity. And today, I receive your love, your forgiveness. Cleanse my filters by your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.